In the last 10 years, our field has gone from an unknown specialty to a household name. This brings unprecedented opportunities, but we need to rise up to meet them and give our patients the care that they deserve. In order to help others get better, we need to be better. This podcast will help you to become more confident with your patients, more successful in your practice or business, and a leader in pelvic health. And we're gonna have some fun along the way. Join us as we rise together. We're Jesse and Nicole Cozine, founders of Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy and the creators of the Pelvic PT Huddle. And this is Pelvic PT Rising.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Pelvic PT Rising podcast with Jesse and Nicole Cozine. I am so excited to bring you guys today my conversation with Dr. Donna Chow of Foundations Pelvic Health, member of the Rising family. She has some awesome insight to share, both on the clinical side. We're going to talk about how to receive mentorship, which is something I don't think we talk about enough, how she was burned out at the places that she had been working, and how she has turned that into creating a sustainable cash-based physical therapy practice that she can certainly be proud of, and that she is providing the kind of care she wants for patients and the kind of job she wants for her staff and her team. And so that's something that has been really important to her, and I'm excited for you guys to get to hear all about how she is doing that in Boston. So with no further ado, here is my interview with Dr. Donna Chow. Hey guys, so excited to be talking with Donna Chow, founder of Foundations Pelvic Health, member of the Rising family from Boston. Donna, I'm so excited. Thanks for so much for being on.
I am so excited as well. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So kind of a crazy coincidence, right? You're out in Boston. We didn't know any of this, but like you're literally from like right down the street from us here in Southern California.
I know. I'm from Laguna Niguel, which is actually where your clinic is, which is actually kind of crazy when I first found out about Pelvic Sanity. Just like such a funny coincidence.
Yeah, right. And you're back here. So we haven't met up yet. That we're going to have to make that happen. But wanted to dive in a little bit to your history. How did you get into physical therapy? How'd you get into pelvic health?
So I've always been pretty active as a person. I don't really like just like sitting still. So I knew I wanted to go into medicine. I was kind of like pushed into that a little bit by my parents, but I do like the whole like medicine field of like helping people. And then I forget how I actually found out about PT, but I was like, oh, cool. We get to like work with people. We get to like see them once a week for a couple of weeks, months, whatever it is, and really build a relationship and like really just be a coach for them. So that's how I like kind of got into PT. I shadowed a couple places, had zero idea there were any other specialties in the PT realm. I thought it was just sort of like ankle pain, neck pain, knee surgery, stuff like that. But that's how I kind of fell into PT. And then I guess pelvic floor PT more specifically was, so I thought I was going to go into pediatrics. I don't know if this was going to be a segue into your next question about how I got into pelvic floor PT. Originally, I was really into pediatrics and I thought it would be so fun to work with kids. I had a rotation at a pediatric hospital and it was so fun, loved it. And I was going to go into my next rotation, but then that one fell through and I was offered a clinical that was half ortho and half women's health. And that's honestly like how I like fell into it. And then I just literally never left.
Oh, that's so cool. You know, I'm sure that was one of your latter rotations. Was there something in there with pelvic health? Was there a moment where you were like, oh, this is what I'm meant to be doing? Was it just like, eh, this seems kind of cool? Like what were you thinking? And that must've been a little bit of an interesting thing since you didn't pursue a thing in pelvic health. Was it a little bit of like, wait, you want me to do what, where?
So funny story, when in PT school, we had one lecture on like pelvic floor physical therapy. I remember not really caring that much. I was just like trying to get through my finals, you know? And I remember the instructor saying something about like rectal treatment, like you can do a rectal assessment. And I clearly remember turning to one of my classmates and be like, oh, definitely referring out for that one. So I remember that moment in terms of like, I did not think I was going to go into this. So when I fell into that clinical, I really didn't know that much about it. I didn't know the ins and outs of like what it pertained to. I really didn't know that we had to do, or we were doing vaginal assessments. I just like really was unsure. I thought it was just maybe pregnancy and postpartum. I thought maybe it'd be fun with like working with kids and moms, like so great. Didn't realize it was a whole niche in itself. I think, I don't know if I had a specific moment where I was like, yes, this is what I meant to do, but it was a series of just like light bulbs in my head about like, wait, why don't I know this about my own body? Or like, wait, I'm supposed to pee that much? Or wait a second, no one knows this? Wait, why is everyone so upset about this? And like, or like, sorry, I should say like, why are postpartum women so like on fire about like all, a lot of like the maternal health stuff? Like, I just didn't know any of that. And then I think just like listening to my patients, interacting with them, hearing all their stories, I think that was just like kind of my gradual slip and slide down into pelvic floor PT.
That's really neat. And then did you get a job doing pelvic health right out of school?
Yep. I actually was hired right after, in the same place that I had my rotation that was half ortho, half pelvic health. I ended up doing probably like 75% pelvic and 25% ortho, which I really enjoyed just because, I don't know, I still wanted to learn about the neck and other things about the body instead of just focusing on the pelvic floor.
Oh, that's really neat. What kind of patients were you seeing most of the time back then?
I was probably seeing mostly pregnancy, postpartum, not seeing as much complex pelvic pain. And then it's kind of funny, where I started, I feel so incredibly blessed that I had a ton of mentors. I had about, I think, 5 pelvic floor PTs that were more senior than I was. And I am eternally grateful to them that I could come out of a room with what I thought was a complex patient and have somebody to bounce ideas off of, or being like, I've never seen this diagnosis before, but they just told me this, whatever it was. So I feel like because I had that sort of security blanket of like people helping me, I was always like, oh, like they can take the more complex cases. They can do a little bit more of that. And then it was really when I went to another clinic and I was like, wait, I can see some of these more complex patients. I'm sort of ready for that. And I just like didn't realize I was ready for it until I was like put in that situation, you know?
Yeah, until you're thrown into the fire, pass on the super complex person when that's an option. But if it's not an option, like you got to roll up your sleeves and handle that. That's really interesting. And I know a lot of people don't get that mentorship early on. Can you kind of talk to me about what it was like being the mentee there? Was it on you to go to them and say like, hey, I've got this really complex case? Was it more structured? Because I think that's something that for those who are lucky enough to have somebody who is more experienced or willing to mentor, it's not always clear whose responsibility that is. Is it you as the mentee to ask the questions? Or is it the, you know, oh, we're going to put you in this mentorship program. We're blocking off this time on your schedule. What was your experience like that?
So I asked a lot of questions. So we did have some structure with some of our mentorship. I wouldn't say it was like a detailed outline of things, like check, check, check on a checklist of diagnoses or like skills. Maybe we did have that for the ortho piece of it. I can't really remember, but I think we did. But I asked a ton of questions. So I think I was like always asking questions. So it was even like, between patients, I'd be like, hey, like, I haven't seen someone tomorrow. Do you have a moment here? Can I block something off and we can chat a little bit? So I will say that there was a little bit of short-term mentorship, but I definitely was like an eager beaver in terms of like, I want to know the answers and I want to be able to help people. And I don't want to fumble around doing it, even though obviously I did. We all do. But it was probably a mix of both, with me being very going after all the questions that I had.
Yeah, you were really proactive with it. And I think that's a really good lesson for anybody who is in that situation, is I think sometimes there's like an air of passivity around mentorship. Like, you know, like you're the vessel and it's the responsibility of your mentor to fill you up with this knowledge and wisdom and experience. Even at Pelvic Sanity, where we do have a structured mentorship program, the people who get the most out of it are the people who are going above and beyond and asking those questions and taking notes on that patient. And, you know, you have that interaction with the patient and you're really calm and you get them out of there. Yeah, Mrs. Johnson, that's fantastic. We're going to be able to work with you. No problem at all. We've got this. And then you come into running to Nicole's office being like, what the fuck just happened? Holy cow.
We've all been there.
I like that. And just that encouragement to like take responsibility for that when you do, because
most people, frankly, in the field aren't lucky enough to have that more senior person around, take advantage of that if you're able to. So I love hearing that story. When you leave there, you go to a place where you don't have that anymore, and you're stepping into that role a little bit, it sounds like. What was that transition like?
So it's kind of funny reflecting back on that, because I remember when I was ready to leave my first job, which I thought I was going to be at for so long because I just like loved all my coworkers. It was just so great. But, you know, like management, all that was just not the best. And it was time for me to move on. And I remember considering a place that was a cash pay practice. And I really wasn't thinking like, oh, I'll start my own practice. I just didn't feel ready. I just didn't feel like I knew enough to be able to help all the people I was about to see by myself. And I wanted to really work on a team. So I remember I interviewed a place, and then a cash pay place, I mean. And then I ended up accepting this job at another outpatient ortho clinic, kind of close to Boston on the South Shore. And they were like, oh, we're trying to grow our pelvic program. We're going to hire a bunch more people, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my gosh, great. I'm so excited to be part of a team. And that's when I realized like, oh, like I'm the one mentoring people. I'm the one training them. I'm the one taking the complex patients. So yes, that was a really good sort of like just wake up call for me to be like, wow, I can do this. Why didn't I think I was ready? It was just sort of like I was put in the fire and I was like, okay, I could do this. So in terms of that, I feel like that actually really helped build up my confidence a lot in terms of like, oh, I am able to answer these mentees' questions. I'm able to teach them these things. I'm able to teach them a new technique or a way to speak to a patient or talking about a new diagnosis. So I feel like that was actually really good. Trial by fire, I feel like that's what it was. Because, you know, when you have people asking you questions and you're supposed to be the expert, that was just sort of like, oh, okay, here we go. And then, yeah, that's how that happened.
Kind of amazing how much you know when you don't have that other person to fall back onto. It's like, oh, but I actually do know that. That's a question I would have been asking. But now that someone's asking me, I actually do know the answer to that.
Totally.
That's cool. And then you mentioned at this point, sounds like in the back of your mind, starting your own practice. When does that start to infiltrate the thinking?
So definitely COVID was a factor. I felt kind of burnt out. The clinic I love all my coworkers, but again, I felt like management wasn't my favorite. I really wanted to build a pelvic program. And actually the managers and the whole business was actually pretty amenable to that. But I just didn't feel like we were given a lot of resources for it. Like it was up to me to like block up like schedules, to like have like journal club or whatever that was, or like mentorship hours or whatever that was. And I remember thinking like, okay, I really love being on this team, but like, I'm not sure if I feel that supported behind it. And then I started thinking like, okay, Donna, like if you were to change jobs, where would you go? We have all our standard options, right? Like even like 3 or 4 years ago, there weren't that many cash pay clinics, but it was like, okay, an outpatient ortho clinic. Great. Been there, done that. Hospital-based program. Interesting, but I'm not sure if that's for me. And then I feel like my only other option was like, okay, like maybe I'll join a cash pay clinic, but I had already interviewed at one. And I wasn't super excited about it. And then I think that's when like the idea planted of like, okay, if I went to another outpatient ortho job, I'm probably going to get burnt out again in another 3-4 years. I'm going to move jobs again. Probably not going to be that excited. Maybe build another program. But we all know how outpatient ortho clinics work. It's all about productivity, not always about just the learning, which I'm super passionate about. And not all outpatient ortho clinics are like that, but many of them are. So I feel like that's when the seed was planted, because I really had to think like, is this just going to be a jump that I do every couple of years when I get burnt out? Like that doesn't seem sustainable either, you know?
Absolutely. And then when you mentioned, because I know we talked about this a little bit in, I think, some of our calls, but how did you know you were burned out? Like, what was the feeling for you? Because I feel like people sometimes describe that differently. Like, how did you know? I was going to say, Donna, how could you tell that you were burned out? Like, what was it about the situation?
Well, first off, my husband would be like, wow, when you come home, you're like a shell of yourself. That was like one like big thing. Not saying that I was like, I would just like go home, eat dinner and like go to bed. I was just like, I just didn't feel inspired. Just compared to now where I'm like, oh, like, okay, I have a patient tomorrow that I have this this going on. Let me look this up. And like, oh, well, it's just like such a big difference in terms of my, I wouldn't even say energy levels, but just like my passion for my work. Very different levels where I was back then versus now. But yeah, I think that.
I want to explore that a little bit because that's, it's not, I think there's this misconception that burned out is because of the volume of work. And I would hazard a guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would guess you are probably working more, at least certainly when you were starting your business, way more than you were actually working when you were feeling so burned out working for someone else. So it wasn't the volume of the work. What do you feel like accounts for that? Where you could be doing, you could be seeing the same type of patients, but all of a sudden, like you're going in and you're feeling inspired and you have all these ideas and all this passion, all these things you want to be doing. What accounts for that difference?
I think there's something to be said about like growing something and seeing the results of that. I mean, there's a business sense of it too, but also growing a practice, a group, a team, all those things that I like wanted, but I'm not sure that I felt like I was able to get. I don't know if I saw that growth in the future. So I feel like, sorry, this is not a sort of like a roundabout way to say this, but I feel like it was almost like I didn't know where the future was with where I was before. And I feel like it's hard to stay inspired when you're just like, oh, okay, I'll just be here, I guess, doing my thing, clocking in, clocking out. And I think for me, I just needed a little something different. I needed to be more challenged, probably, actually.
Yeah, well, business will do that. And it's,
and I got that for sure.
Yeah, well, it's been fun to see how you responded to that. So I definitely want to talk a lot of business stuff with you. But on one of the things that we were talking about a little bit beforehand is you mentioned being a challenge to be an Asian American, a minority in a not always very diverse field. Can you talk a little bit about that? What your experience has been like?
Yeah. So part of like my reflection in like what I've done and where I am today, I just feel like pelvic floor PT, it's a very female dominated field, which is awesome, but it's a very white female dominated space, which is great. Also, I just don't see a lot of people who look like me in this space, educating in positions of leadership, setting an example, just not a lot of representation. And I don't even really think I thought about that in any particular way. I was just, you know, I would see who I saw on social media and I'd be like, oh, great, great and content, great information. But I think it was when I started to do stuff that people, even patients would come up to me and say like, oh my gosh, it's so great to see someone who looks like me talking about these things that I want to talk about. Or maybe growing up in a similar culture that I grew up in where I wasn't, we didn't talk about this stuff. I've had students come up to me to say the same thing too, in terms of just like being like an Asian female or there's another female of color, just being like, oh, okay, it's really cool to see you succeed and almost like not prove myself, but just show that it can happen and that you can do it and that there can be more of us out here helping all the same people too.
So powerful. Yeah. Seeing that and being it, that's got to feel really cool for you to be that inspiration for somebody else. When you were going through your intro courses, your, you know, all of your pelvic health training, do you remember ever having an Asian American instructor?
No, I would love to be. I would love to see more of that diversity, either in faculty at PT schools, which is, you know, we'll see. That's what I'm, one of my goals here. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of diversity there in terms of like Asian Americans. I remember at a Herman and Wallace course, I'll never forget this, but like somebody, the instructor called on me and called me the wrong name because there was another Asian American woman in the room too. And she was sitting so far away from me. And I'm sure this happens to other people too, but I was just remember being like, okay, cool. So there's just, it wasn't a great moment. I kind of brushed it off, but it was sort of like, okay, like we, there can be more of us here and we're not all the same and we can each make the space our own too.
Yeah, that's got to be just difficult going up through a, you know, an area that just is not, you're not seeing that kind of representation. And I think, I hope it's getting better. I think we're seeing that start to at least change and you're part of that change. I think it's even for patients, I think is something that is so important to be able to see that from people, like you said, who look like them. And yeah, it's not just this thing for white ladies or whatever else we're unconsciously putting out by the people who are, you know, out there. And it's great that everybody is putting out all that content, but the more people who are doing it, I love that social media has become a little bit of that leveling the playing field and allowing maybe some more of those voices to come up than may have been previously able to with the content you're putting out, with the content some other great people out there are creating right now.
Yeah, totally. It's funny with like social media. I was like initially really hesitant to put my face on social media, recording things and like, you know, waving around a dilator or like talking about vaginas. But I just realized like, okay, like this, if I don't put myself out there and I don't see anyone else doing this, like how are we going to be represented? So yeah, that was definitely a hurdle I had to get over. I hope that in the future, like more people feel comfortable whether pursuing pelvic PT as a career or even just, you know, treatment through pelvic floor PT, that there are providers, if they choose, that look like them, who might understand their cultural backgrounds a little bit more. Yeah, just to have that option out there for people.
Yeah, well, and speaking of cultural background, do you feel like that was part at all of your hesitation? Or is it the normal hesitation of not wanting to be on camera talking about vaginas and dilators? Or was there a little bit of extra of that because of some cultural stuff?
No, I feel like I've always been pretty open about talking about stuff like that. But even like before this podcast started, I told you, I was like, I'm kind of nervous about this. I'm just nervous about social media, and like putting my face out there. I'm just like a generally like, oh, I like to just like kind of keep to myself a little bit. I'm not like sharing everything on social media. So I don't think that was like more cultural. I think that's just like me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure making that transition to business, that that's something that business has challenged you with, let's say. But so talk to me, you mentioned that COVID was the big instigator for starting foundations. What about COVID? What made that the spark for you?
I think I just didn't agree with all the like management policies that were going on in terms of like, there was like, you remember back in the day, like we were all wearing face shields and double masking and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I understand it was a business, but I just didn't really feel like us PTs were being, I didn't feel super safe back then. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, like if I had my way, like I would do things a lot differently and make sure like the people that worked with me felt taken care of as well. So that was like a big, you know, when you feel like your safety is at risk, it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I feel like it was interesting as an outside observer to the fields, as I kind of am. I feel like physical therapists, especially, were in this weird category of people where, you know, it's like you've got doctors and respiratory nurses and folks who are like there dealing with COVID folks. And a lot of physical therapists were being kind of either pressed into that or treated like they were frontline workers and essential personnel and maybe doing things that weren't necessarily essential, but were maybe essential for the bottom line of the clinic, which had to shut down, which again, as a business owner, like no judgment, I understand everyone has to do what they have to do to survive. But you guys were in this like weird middle ground, I feel like, of essential personnel back in those crazy days.
I wouldn't want to live through all that again. That was just such a weird time for all of us. You know, there's like so much uncertainty. Like, are we going to live? Are we going to die? Like, is my groceries, are my groceries contaminated? Like, you know, I'm so glad we're past that. And I know it's like not where we are now. But yeah, that was definitely, I think, just like turning point and like realization of like, okay, like let's see if some things can change. If not at work, like how can I make things work for me?
Yeah. And I don't want to keep just bouncing from, I love that self-realization as well. Like, if I keep on this pattern, it's just going to continue to repeat. I'm going to bounce from place to place. I'm going to get burned out. I'm going to get frustrated with where I'm working. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to go through the honeymoon period with that group as I get to meet all these fun new people and we're doing all these things. And then I'm going to start to get more burned out and frustrated. And 3 years later, I'm going to want to make a change. And you said, you know, let's get off that wheel. Yeah. And when did foundations actually start? How did you make the decision and then actually see your first patient?
So Foundations Pelvic Health started in early 2021, which is last year. Are we in 2022? Yes. Wow. I was working 4 days a week, 40 hours with the outpatient company. And then the fifth day I was renting out a space with another pelvic floor PT, actually, who was like honestly the most gracious person. Like, that's so kind to let another competitor like rent out your space. I was renting it Fridays and Saturdays. So I was burning the candle at all ends. first patient, I think, was March 2021, maybe. And then I was filling up. So then in April, or I think May 2021, I went somewhere else and I rented a space that I could rent like all, like 7 days a week, basically. That was just my space. So yeah. So we've really escalated from there in a good way.
See, this is why I love having these conversations, because I didn't know that you were, I mean, talk about, that's crazy, Donna. I know how much work goes into building a business, and the fact that you were doing that while working 410s somewhere else.
Yep.
That
would not recommend, but that was a hustle that I felt like was, I was ready for a lot of challenges.
Yeah. So you put your foot on the gas, and then at what point was it when you went to go get that extra space where you realized, oh, this is going to be a thing?
I think everyone sort of starts out like this in terms of like, we'll just see how many people I get, and like, I'll just be by myself. Like, I'll just make up my salary in terms of what I was working before. Yay, yay, yay. And then I think a lot of people get to this point of like, oh, okay. I have a wait list. I have people who really want to come see me. I've built this network, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Maybe it was like late 2021 where I was like, okay, this is like, where do I want to see this going? Is it just going to be me forever? Is it going to be someone else? Like, where do I go with this? So I think it was probably late fall, early winter in 2021 where I was like, okay, we're ready to grow.
Yeah. And then I know you were limited by your space for a long time.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
A lot of people get to at that point, but you didn't have really the room to grow. You made it work, but that was a challenge.
Yes, definitely. If anyone lives in the Boston area, real estate is not fun. So that was just sort of a nightmare in terms of finding an affordable space that worked for my business. That was definitely, I think if I had found a space sooner, I would have expanded sooner. But of course, like, you need the space.
It's so interesting when we look at things and you can start to pinpoint what are those limiting factors. And for you, it was never the marketing or getting patients. It was never really patient care. It has been space for a long period of time. And I'm really excited, you know, spoiler alert, now that you've done a build out and moved into a new spot, how Foundations is going to start growing, because that's no longer the thing that's capping your growth anymore.
No, it's actually really cool to think of it that way, actually. Yeah, it's really cool. Like, as I've grown, I've noticed like kind of like you said, the limiting factors change, right? As I hired someone who's an incredible pelvic floor PT, it's like, okay, great, we're filling up her schedule. But then now it's like, okay, like, how do we keep that schedule full? Like, how do we, if we are hiring somebody else, how to start marketing them, you know? So the space now is not the issue. Like,
yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that I love about business. And I don't know if you're feeling this, but there's always something new. There's always a new challenge to it. And it's really hard to ever truly get complacent in where you are, because there is something else. There's another hurdle to climb, another mountain in the distance there to try to get over as you're doing it. Now, in terms of your kind of projecting your growth, how everything was going on, at what point did you decide to reach out to us? Because I remember when we first talked, like, you were objectively crushing it. You had probably replaced your salary, right? I mean, you were a success story at the point where we had our first phone conversation. I certainly remember that. So talk to me about that decision to reach out and ask.
Well, Jesse, I tried to reach out sooner, but for your first cohort, but I think I was just too late. I was just too late, and you all weren't accepting new people, which is fine. I did it on my own. I probably would have done a lot of things differently had I started sooner. I actually remember when I reached out again, I was like, do I actually need them? I've been doing well on my own. Like, why now? Right. But I just kind of thought, like, Donna, like, you have questions all the time, and you end up asking all your other, like, cash pay PT friends who have done this, colleagues. And honestly, it's a blind leading the blind a lot. And there's a lot of people who are like, I do it this way, but I'm not really sure if this is correct. Or, you know, I haven't asked my accountant this, but I've been doing this. And I was just like, you know what? I'm a rule follower. I want to not be caught doing something wrong later on or something. And also, I don't want to search Google for wrong answers. And I wanted to have a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, measured growth. Because I just, like, didn't know where it's going. I was like, oh my gosh, I've grown exponentially since starting in 2021. But, like, I felt like I was on this chaotic roller coaster. And I just needed some guidance with that. I was like, I don't know where this roller coaster is going. I feel like it's sprouted wings and this is going, but I think I needed help in like reining it in, so it wasn't like going off track, you know? And yeah, I felt like that was why I like was like, okay, this is like what I need to do for my business and for myself too.
I actually really love hearing that. And this is, again, I love doing these interviews because I'd never heard that side of the story. We talked obviously a little bit about that, but I mean, that is something that we wish we had had, frankly, at that point in growth too, right? Things are going really well and you want to make sure you're doing everything right. You're doing everything by the book, but then also that you can really start to, I don't know if content is the right word, but where you can be, just be in that moment and not feel like, you know, you're barely hanging on by your fingernails to that crazy roller coaster. And I don't know. I think that that is something, there's something about that and having that camaraderie in the group and realizing other people are going through that as well. Maybe that is a big piece of it sometimes of like, hey, it's not just me who sometimes feels like this thing's out of control. Maybe that's a comfort there. But yeah, I mean, that I love that you reached back out. And even after all of the success that you've had, like just anything to streamline that is...
Streamline, that's the word. Needed okay. That. I had some systems in place, but it was like, I just like couldn't see where it was going. So I felt like streamlining was so helpful in like getting me to compartmentalize, figure out what my goals were, all that stuff that I feel like I should have had in the beginning, but I just like didn't have the guidance for that.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to step away from the day-to-day running of things to do that. And, you know, even something as simple as like planning where you want to go, it sounds so simple, but it really isn't when you've got the phone ringing and you've got these things that need answered and you've got patient care that needs done and documentation and you got to be marketing and you got to reach out to these practitioners. And all of a sudden, like some of that bigger picture stuff just falls to the wayside. You just don't have time for it. Nope. When you're in that kind of explosive growth phase.
Yeah, definitely.
So is it settling down now? I know you're still growing like crazy, but is it starting to feel a little bit more like that?
I actually had my last mentorship call with Nicole recently, and she was like, okay, tell me what's going on. Like, what do we need to do? And I was like, honestly, like, I kind of want to coast for a moment. I just did a build out. I just opened the clinic. I just hired. I just oriented. I just hired a front desk. I just need to like sit in all this transition right now and like let this transition become the norm and then moving on from here. So things are feeling great, but like, I won't say burned out because I'm like always excited. I feel like there was just so much going on for so long that I was like, I just need to just sit for a moment.
Yeah.
But 2023, we're going to hit the ground running.
Yeah. Put back on the gas. Well, and you know, we talk a lot about that. I know you're probably sick of us talking about, honestly, like seasons in the business and
totally.
It can't be pedal to the metal all the time. Like it mm-hmm. just can't be. It shouldn't be. And if you try that, A, I mean, their entrepreneurial burnout is a thing. And B, you're never giving yourself those moments to kind of like firm up the foundation, pun very much intended, yep. with your business, like where things are. Because like Facebook's famous motto, right? Move fast and break things. Well, that's not a sustainable business strategy. Like that's for a period of time, that's fine. But how do we then come behind that, put the systems in play, make things more efficient, get you your time back, because that's at some point where we need to be going with that, and actually make that start to work. And one of the words that you said earlier that I really liked, you said you felt like what you were doing at other clinics wasn't sustainable. Are you starting to feel that way about your business? Are you building something that's sustainable?
So when I was, it's funny that you say that, when I was hiring, I was like, okay, like how will I make this job opportunity? Why would someone want to work with me, right? Like, why? Like, it could be any other job. Yes, maybe, like, the pay is better or, like, whatever it is. An hour-long treatment session, great. But what about, like, me versus any other cash pay PT, pelvic health PT? And I was just thinking about, like, where I wanted this to go and how much I love working with a team. Like, I love working with people and, like, mentoring, learning from them, collaborating, all that stuff. I love that. So, like, okay, well, I want to build a team that hopefully will be with me for a long time. We'll work with each other. We'll grow with each other. But like, that needs to be sustainable for them too. So I wanted to create a business or a company that would be sustainable. So things that I offer, like like paid doc time, not just like the 20 minutes at the very end of the day, but like after each patient, and just a consistent paid mentorship also, because a lot of times that's not paid, or just like, oh, we have a block on our schedule, or like a opening in our schedules, let's jump on in. And also not, I mean, obviously there's a little bit of emphasis on productivity, but like, I'm not here to be like, oh, you only saw X amount of patients today. No, like, let's collaborate and like, let's talk about, let's use this time wisely. Let's learn something, or let's do some marketing or something. So in terms of sustainability for the company, I hope that that's like a position that would make someone feel like, you know, I could be here for a while, you know, like I'm consistently challenged, but I feel like I can still like be a human being. Like I have 15 minutes to go to the bathroom between each patient. I can eat a granola bar. I can answer this email real fast. Cause before it just like was not, it was like, you get behind with a patient because they called or a doctor calls, and you're just whole day, like, just like, you know, it just eats away at your day. So you're always running. I feel like that was another thing. We're just like running around as PTs. And then in terms of like business sustainability, I think with you and Nicole's help, it's been really helpful for me to like streamline my systems or get my systems in place so that I have order in it versus like, before, I don't even know what I was doing. I mean, I was doing things, but it would just be like chaos. It was chaos behind the scenes, everyone. I felt like I was a chicken with my head cut off. So I do feel like now that I'm like, oh, I can actually take a step back and like just be a PT and somewhat a business owner, but not always like business owner hat on, always be an entrepreneur and like, let's full steam ahead. It's sort of like, okay, I can just like treat my patients, take a course, hang out for a moment. So I feel like riding the seasons of the business with how I'm feeling has been really helpful instead of always just like, go, 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 like it was before.
Yeah. Well, and that can be our temptation too, especially grind culture and all of that, right? You're supposed to be, you're not working 80 hours a week. You're not working hard enough. So I love kind of just that you've been able to, in the latter half of 2022, then just kind of sit with that and be there and enjoy that, and then basically build that. Like the analogy I always love is that, like, when fishermen aren't out fishing, they're mending the nets. Like, your nets are ready to go.
Totally.
2023 is coming up. Now, that's on the business side. And I love that idea of sustainability for you, for the business, for your people. And it's so fun when you get to create not only a business for yourself, but create an opportunity for other people to experience the kind of job that you wish you had been able to find and experience. Is that translating to personal life? Are you coming home a shell of yourself at the end of the day?
Well, I would say the first year of business ownership, I was a crazy version of myself. I was definitely like living, breathing, dreaming, sleeping, eating business. It was nonstop. So I wouldn't say show myself, but I definitely took a lot of work home, a lot of work home. And now I feel like I'm able to have a little bit more boundary with that. And then, you know, have time for me and my family and my dog, and not just feel like bound to work all the time. I don't check my emails off. What's it called? Like after business hours. Well, okay. That's a lie. I definitely check my email. I'm not in a rush to answer all of them ASAP.
We'll take the baby steps. We'll take the win.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wait, that's a total lie. But yes, I'm trying. But I'm not like before, where I was. Before, I was feeling tired and burnt out at my old job and just like unable to do much more. And now if I go home and I have things to do, I'm like, okay, great. This is like, okay, great. Like, let's do it. This is fun. Like, let's check this thing off the list and let's move on to the next one and continue growing.
Awesome. I love hearing that. And Donna, just from looking at this from our perspective, I know Nicole and I have both been just so proud of, I feel like you just have so much, I think the word settled, and not in a bad way, but you've like settled into that business owner mentality, that business owner role since we've been, even just in the short time we've been working together. And it's been really neat to see, like, you feel like you were made to do this. And it's like, you're realizing that all of a sudden. And I don't know, there's an ease about you, I feel like, that maybe wasn't there at the beginning. And it's really, really cool to see.
Oh, that's so nice.
I love just how thoughtful you are about creating the experience that you want at your practice for both your staff and your patients. like all of the stakeholders, it's working for you, it's working for your people, and it's working for your patients. And when those things are aligned, I mean, the sky's the limit. So I am really excited to see where Foundations goes in the coming year. And yeah, it's been just great to watch that growth and see all the hard work you put in start to pay off. So really, really fun to see. How do people get in touch with you? How do they follow you on Instagram? Give me the all the details here.
Yeah. Instagram is Foundations with an S, Pelvic Health. And then website is the same thing, foundationspelvichealth.com. And then you can go ahead and email me, Donna@foundationspelvichealth. But the email is also on the website as well.
Sweet. Well, let me kick it over to you. Let me give you the last word. Anything else that you want to say? Any advice that you would have to anybody who's in that kind of position? Mike is yours. What do you got for us?
Like business ownership or pelvic PT? Anything?
I would say business. Well, we've been talking a lot of business. Okay, like where, okay. What would the thought be to like a younger business owner out there?
Honestly, I think it's a hustle and a grind, but you can do it. And if it's something that you really want to do, you can see yourself doing it. I would say the reward is so immense, and I couldn't have imagined that it could be like this, to not feel so burnt out or feeling like wherever I was working didn't care about me or anything like that. I feel like one of the coolest things about owning your own business is that you can really create what you want. You can create the space you want to work in, the people you want to see, the people you want to work with. You can create all of that. And I think there's something so special in the fact that you could, like, everything needs a decision in a business, like whether it's what color the cups are or like where the calendar is on the wall. I don't know. I'm just looking at the things in my room. But the fact that you get to make the decision for all these things is really special. And that's something that's like truly yours that you get to create.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been fun seeing you create Foundations Pelvic Health. I am really, really excited to see where it goes next. Thanks so much for taking the time and talk with us. I think people are going to really be inspired by your story.
Thanks, Jesse. It's been great talking and working with you.
I hope you guys loved listening to that conversation as much as I loved actually getting to talk to Donna and record it. She is so much fun to talk with, and it has been really, really cool for us to just see her growth and how she is really defining success for herself, how she's kind of getting off that roller coaster as she defined it and settling in and feeling like, you know, she's got more direction. She knows where she's going, and it is really going to be cool in this next year to see where she goes and what she creates. There is something magical, I think, about building something of your own, and that can be as your own practice, that can be within a department, that can be as a clinical director, that can be as a staff physical therapist. But being able to really take ownership of something, I think, is something that you heard in Donna's story. She wasn't able to do that in different places where she had worked. She is able to do it now, and it's really exciting to see how she has taken off from that. So you guys can get in touch with her. Her contact information, our Instagram handle is @foundationspelvichealth. I will put that in the show notes as well, but please feel free to reach out with her with any questions. Also, just love hearing what she is doing as a member of the Asian American community and showing patients that, you know, there's someone on there on Instagram who looks like them, and that she wasn't able to see that, but I have no doubt that she is going to be that inspiration for others as well. So really excited for everything that Donna is doing. If this is something you would like a little bit more information on, if you have started a practice or are thinking about it, and I love Donna's story about already being successful and just wanting to be more settled in what she was doing, but wherever you are in that business journey, whether you're a wannabe and just thinking about it, or whether you've been doing this for 5 years and just want to get a little bit more settled, feel free to check out our resources. You can look at those at pelvicptrising.com/business. And that's pelvicptrising.com/business. There is an entrepreneur survey you can fill out. Just let us know a little bit more about where you are in the business, what's going on, and somebody from our team will be back in touch with some details. If we have any good resources for you, if we can point you any other directions. Obviously, we just want you to be successful in treating patients the way you want to be and building exactly what Donna has built, that sustainable practice, a place where you can be happy and grow and thrive. Been so excited to hear her story. So as always, guys, we want to keep this conversation going, and let's continue to rise.